Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time for another classic 670 flashback.
He is Matt Miller on Sports Radio 670 The Score. So, we thought it was going to be Chris Ballard, Matt, but apparently in came Ryan Pace, and he was just so damn good in the interview. They said, we got to hire this guy, and they did. What do you think?
I don't like it. I really don't. Gosh, I would have hired Chris Ballard. And I know that saying that in Chicago is like saying, that I would rehire Lovie Smith or something. But I look at this from an outsider's perspective, which is why I think you guys have me on, because I'm not a Chicago guy.
Right.
I look at things, you know, without the emotion of being in the city. And Chris Ballard was a slam dunk. I can't believe that they announced a hire that wasn't him.
With the second pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Mitchell Trubisky.
Whoa!
Quarterback, well, North Carolina.
Hello?
Yeah, we wish we would have listened to him. Matt Miller, NFL draft scout on Twitter. You know who he is. Longtime Score contributor. Big man over at ESPN now. Joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sportsbook. He wanted Ballard. They hired Pace. He was all in on Matt Nagy. Bears fans didn't love that one so much, Matt. But I know you like Ryan Poles. Thank you very much for the time. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, doing well. Appreciate you guys having me on. I'm glad that, you know, we get to talk about this today, because as soon as the Poles hire got announced, you know, I was excited. I tweeted about it, you know, kind of thought the Bears did the right thing. And the reasons I was excited, and I get Bears fans being like, but you said this about Matt Nagy. And they're right. I did say this about Matt Nagy. And I've you know, in the morning with Dan and Layla, I've said before, we all thought that Nagy would bring what they do in Kansas City to Chicago. And he didn't. I think some of that is, you know, he was a little bit handcuffed by the personnel, a little bit handcuffed by the general manager. And I'll say this before we jump into it, Danny. Hiring a general manager is a lot different than hiring a head coach. Ryan Poles will be tasked with setting the standard and the temperature for the entire franchise, the entire organization. So the move he makes at head coach, the move he makes at offensive coordinator will be incredibly important. But I think as a Bears fan today, you should be very excited with the person they got to run the team.
So tell us about that person.
Yeah, you know, I've written a lot about Ryan Poles over the last 2 years. You know, last year he was a finalist for the Carolina Panthers job. He was a finalist for the New York Giants job this year. You know, he's incredibly experienced. And I think one of the things that I love about him is he's a young person, 36 years old, who has a playing background. He was a standout offensive guard at Boston College when Matt Ryan was there. He was actually kind of played for the Bears, had a cup of coffee with the Bears at least during the preseason. But then he goes into front offices and works, you know, under Scott Pioli. So he's got a little bit of the Patriot system in there. But then he goes with Pioli to Kansas City. When Pioli gets fired, he actually stays under John Dorsey. So you get a little bit of the Ron Wolf system in there. Well, then when Dorsey goes, he gets fired, he stays under Andy Reid and Brett Veach. So you get a little bit of their style of system in there. So what impresses me is that Poles has that background of he's not just a Patriots guy. He's not just a Ron Wolf guy. He's not just an Andy Reid guy. He's able to blend all those different philosophies together in order to not just to evaluate a player, but to how to build a team and what type of culture you want to set, within your locker room and what type of men you're going to go after as the players for your team. And I think that's what makes him, you know, really interesting. And I'm excited to see exactly what he will bring to the table. I know being connected to those organizations, also being represented by Trace Armstrong, he's going to have a lot of connections to where he can build a really good staff, which something we talk about all the time. Oh, you hire this guy, you hire that guy. Okay, what are they bringing with them? Because just the head coach or just the general manager doesn't really matter. It's what are you going to have underneath you? Like we've seen with Chris Ballard having someone like Ed Dodds under him in Indianapolis. It's incredibly valuable. So I think that's the other exciting factor about a Ryan Poles hire is the type of front office he's going to build is the type of front office where his lieutenants are going to be sought after for head jobs very soon.
This is very useful stuff from Matt Miller at NFL Draft Scout. You answered what was going to be my question because the Nagy comparison is weird. One's a coach, one's a GM, but Nagy clearly was a one-trick pony trying to do his Andy Reid offensive impression and did not show the adaptability. You talked about the many different styles that Ryan Poles has already learned under and hopefully will bring in. Assuming he's the boss at the very top of the football organizational chart, what then does he need? You knowing how front offices function as you've dealt with them, if he's the talent guy, does he need a college scouting guy? Does he need a cap guy? Like, what are the lieutenants that he needs to the best of your knowledge?
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, to the best of my knowledge without, you know, being able to completely be in there with them on the daily, I think he's going to bring your college scouting and even pro scouting because he has done both for Kansas City. So he's going to be, you know, your team architect. I think in Kansas City, they have a very underrated person by the name of Brant Tillis, who is their salary cap guru. You know, it's not Andy Reid and Brett Veach making that salary cap work. It's Brant Tillis. So I think that's something that Poles will look for to find his version of that, of someone who can, who understands the cap, who can get creative with the manipulation of it. That's something Kansas City has actually done very well. If you guys remember, it's like, was it two summers ago? They had like $112 under the cap, and they signed Chris Jones and Patrick Mahomes to extensions. So you need that guy, right? You need to find that person. It might be someone that is, you know, in that group with Kansas City that comes with him. I'm not familiar with who that person would be. But I will say this. That is a very deep front office in terms of the scouting side of things, whether it's someone like Greg Castillo or Ryan Nutt, who might come under Ryan Poles as, you know, kind of his second in command, what he's been for Veach for so long. So he'll definitely, I think, need more of the business side operations. And I would even think when hiring the head coach, I know a lot of people have said Jim Caldwell's there today. It might be Jim Caldwell, or it might be Brian Flores. It might be Dan Quinn. I think the one thing that those guys have in common, and I think they're all viable candidates, the one thing they have in common is they've been head coaches before. And that's something I've heard a lot today from people is, okay, you have a first-time kind of younger general manager. You're probably going to want a head coach with some experience to tie him to. And I definitely think that's something that we could see happen.
Well, it's interesting. But before we get to the head coach component of it, let's stay in the front office because it's super useful. Does he have the kind of personality that it's going to take to delegate and lead in that way? Because that's the stuff that we don't know, Matt, is like, can, you know, now here you are elevated. Now you got to tell the cap guy what to do. You got to tell tell this business side guy what to do. You got to make sure that you don't overload your own plate. What can he tell us about his personality in terms of that kind of role?
No, I think being a former player really helps in that regard. Of you've been in those situations. You've also, you know, been in leadership roles. I would say this, in my experiences with Ryan, he is a quiet, confident person. And I think that's important. He's not going to be the guy that's, oh my God, look at me. It's not that kind of personality, but he definitely carries himself in a very confident manner. And I think he's, you know, risen through the ranks under multiple different general managers, which people do not do. The turnover in the NFL is crazy. So the fact that he's risen from Pioli to Dorsey to now speaks a lot about his ability to work with others, his ability to, you know, lead, his confidence, and, you know, his ability as an evaluator. So I think those are all positives where, you know, he isn't someone that's going to come in and just like, okay, I'm on the road scouting. You guys take care of this. And I've known general managers who were like that. They basically said, my job, I was hired to evaluate players and draft players. I'm going to do that. Someone else is doing everything else. He's not going to be that type of person. I think the people he's learned under and come up under are have been too influential to be a, you know, half in, half out type of guy.
You know, it's very interesting. We're talking to Matt Miller here on the Parkinson Spiegel Show about Ryan Poles, the Bears' new general manager. You talk about him having experience, and it is true, right? Three different – Brett Veach, Scott Pioli, John Dorsey. But there is, you know, Mike Borgonzi is their director of football operations. Tim Terry is there. It's a pretty big front office in Kansas City. So you called him Brett Veach's number two. Is that definitive? Like, because there's a lot of people there who I could see saying, well, I had a role in this or I had a role in this. Like, I don't know how to parse what he actually did and contributed in Kansas City.
Yeah, I think that's normal in any front office. And I think we could say, oh, this guy was the number two or that guy was. And there's probably not just one, you know, one right-hand guy. It was that way when Dorsey left. It was, okay, how much credit does Veach get for being the guy who loved Mahomes first? Well, he didn't make the pick. John Dorsey did. So who gets credit for it? Well, Brett Veach is still the general manager. John Dorsey isn't. So I think we can rightly assume probably who had the, you know, more influence in that decision. So I do think with Poles, from what I understand, you know, being in the area and knowing several people who work there, is that, you know, especially with this offensive line makeover that the Chiefs did, you have a former college offensive lineman who was a very good college offensive lineman who understands that position, knows what to look for. And to get Creed Humphrey in the second round, to get Trey Smith in the sixth, those are pretty damn good picks, no matter who was making the decision or who was the right-hand man or who was the number two. So I think, you know, having the reputation as, you know, kind of the architect of what they've put together on the offensive line is a nice reputation to have right now with how well that group came together. And you also don't want to take anything away from Brett Veach, who, you know, wasn't that long ago. Danny, I don't know how much you pay attention to Kansas City now that you're in Chicago, but it wasn't that long ago people wanted to fire Brett Veach. And now you look at this team and say, oh, they're in another AFC Championship game. They have a chance to go to another Super Bowl. And so much of it has been a team that has successfully reloaded every offseason, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy that this is the first front office person to be poached from there since they drafted Pat Mahomes and have won a Super Bowl. Normally, there's a lot more front office turnover, so I'm certainly hoping that maybe Ryan Poles brings one or two of those people with him to Chicago. Let's talk coaching, because, you know, you mentioned what you're hearing, and we're reading the same thing, and we know who the finalists are. It's Matt Eberflus, Dan Quinn, Jim Caldwell, as of right now. But what happened in Chicago when it was Ryan Pace was young general manager and arranged marriage with experienced coach in John Fox. I understand that Ryan Poles is different than Ryan Pace, but we've just gone through that exact thought process before. In terms of, I mean, maybe you have insight into who it would be, but is there an experienced coach on that list that you think, based on what you know about Ryan Poles' football philosophy, that he might be more attracted to than others?
Well, I will say this. I don't think that Ryan would have taken this job when he was also a finalist with the Vikings if it was going to be a situation where they said, hey, you have to hire this head coach. I just don't think he would have done it. I mean, the situation in Kansas City is really great. It's not one that he was desperate to run away from my understanding of things. Like, they have a chance to win another Super Bowl ring, right? So it's not like you're in a situation where, you know, the house is on fire like New Orleans and you got to get out of there. So I don't think he would have taken a job if it wasn't the right fit from an ownership standpoint, from a, you know, how much control he was going to have. And the fact that his hiring is coming before that of a head coach, I think speaks to that. So, I think what's weird with the right coach, like, who do you need someone who, you know, can set the tone in terms of energy, and you need someone who's probably young enough to do that. And that would, in my mind, kind of eliminate Jim Caldwell. But I have so much respect for Jim, and I think he would be very good for Justin Fields. I think he'd be very good for that offense, that I don't want to eliminate him necessarily. But I look at this, and I've thought for a while that Poles and Flores might be guys that get connected, you know, kind of become a relationship throughout this process. We see that happen often. There's obviously some connections there because of the New England stuff, but I don't.
And because of Boston College.
Not one guy, right, and Boston College, that's right. So there's not that one guy where I'm like, okay, these two are going together, boom, boom, done, done. I think I could see him working with all of those guys. You know, even with Matt Eberflus, there's the connection to Chris Ballard, who Ryan was with in Kansas City. So there's a ton of connections to all those people that I think make a lot of sense.
With Brian Flores, what have you heard, Matt? Because it's a fascinating guy, and it's made us kind of struggle with the idea frankly, of like how it would work, because it's got to be a good relationship. It's got to be collaborative, and things obviously went kind of volatile there in Miami. Is Brian Flores ready for that second opportunity where he's learned a little bit from how things blew up, or is he still focused on wanting control over a GM and control over a situation, in which case it's a little fearsome to put him with a young guy like Ryan Poles?
I think with that, there's two sides to every story, right? And none of us were there. It's usually just the story that gets the most traction, whether it's a slow news day and Pro Football Talk picks it up or what. I don't know what happened there. I know that Brian Flores was kind of in league circles. People said, he's the reason they drafted Tua, and then he didn't like Tua, and maybe that's the reason that he was on the way out. But they sure did love him when they won 10 games, you know, the year before, and when they thought that he was going to be the reason they got Deshaun Watson, everyone still loved him. So I would think that if there's truth to those rumors that Flores was too hard on Tua and, you know, disrespectful in some of the ways that he communicated with him, or, you know, he is someone that wants more control, I would think that's something that would have to be fleshed out before you could – that's a conversation you have to have. You know, it's like, hey, I may be interested in you as the head coach of the Chicago Bears, but that situation won't work for me. And I think one thing about the NFL is there's only 32 of those general manager jobs. You know, really there's only like 30 when you actually break it down. So it's a very, very small world, right? So you can say, okay, well, what did happen there? You know, you could talk to Chris Greer, who has connections to New England, obviously, and say, hey, like, what is going on down here? What was the reason that he was pushed out? So I think it's a small enough community that you can actually find out behind closed doors what really is going on. And if that's true about Brian Flores, then I don't think that he would be a candidate, because you don't want someone who's going to immediately come in and undermine you as the head coach, or excuse me, as the general manager.
Do you have any idea or best guesses based on his football philosophy what he might think of Justin Fields?
I don't know off the top of my head. That's a question I would love to get the chance to ask him is, hey, what was your evaluation of Fields last year? You know, who is your QB1 or who is your QB2 after Trevor Lawrence? I think that would be a very interesting question to ask. I don't know. I know very few people who didn't love Justin Fields. And even I know I wrote a piece maybe a month and a half ago, and it was kind of re-ranking those rookie quarterbacks. And everyone I talked to still believed that they would take Justin Fields second out of that group of five. It is basically where the consensus came down because of the tools. And I think a lot of people look at that situation with, you know, no wide receivers, a banged up offensive line, David Montgomery's banged up, and a head coach that really everyone knew he was on the way out the door. So I think that you take that job being excited about the fact that you have Justin Fields and knowing that you don't have a first round pick in 2022. But you still take the job because you believe you have a quarterback you can build around. And it's why I thought the Chicago job was actually the most attractive of any of the openings. Because, you know, with the Broncos, you got a good roster, but the team's going to be for sale. You know, with Miami, you got it's South Beach, but you also, you know, you're not picking until San Francisco's pick, which is going to be pretty damn late now. And you've got an offensive line that needs completely fixed. You got a quarterback you're not sure of. So I did. I felt like Chicago was the best opening for a general manager because you were going to get to not only build your team, but pick your head coach. And that's really important.
Might be a defensive head coach, a leader type. And if so, we'll all be wondering what kind of offensive coordinator will be there. What would you do systemically for Justin Fields? We're ready to not see him have tackles alone on the edges. Little chip helper, Max Protect, might be nice. But what would you do systemically to set him up here in year number two?
Yeah, well, I think it starts with Darnell Mooney was a good player, but you got to have more than that, right? And I think that's one thing that Poles will likely bring with him from Kansas City is that belief of, I can remember having a conversation with Brett Veach before the 2020 draft. It was like, oh, what are you guys going to do at 32? He was like, we're going to get Pat weapons. And they did. You know, you can disagree with the pick, but they attempted to give him as many weapons as possible. And then last year it was, we're going to protect Pat. And I think that's something that Poles will bring to the table of, you have a young quarterback capable of being a franchise guy. You have to surround him with weapons and you have to protect him. And, you know, the Jason Peters signing looked a lot better than the Eric Fisher signing. So I think Chicago got one up on Chris Ballard there. I still am a fan of James Daniels and Cody Whitehair, but it's rounding out the rest of that line and making sure that guys like Cole Kmet and David Montgomery can continue to develop and be put in situations where they can be the playmakers that we all thought they could be coming out of college. But I think, you know, the defense is going to need some attention as well, obviously, but you know, this is a job about building an offense around Justin Fields. And you can look at what they've done in Cincinnati. You can look at what they've done with the L.A. Chargers, teams that have loaded up around their young quarterback. I think Cincinnati is a great model for that, where, I mean, they've spent premium picks on offensive players the last 5 years, and they haven't missed on many of them. You know, they've largely gone defense in rounds three and beyond and spent some free agent money there, but they've really tried to draft their offense, and it's worked out exceptionally well for them.
Matt, we're like 3 years overdue for a couple Tank Sevens, buddy. Hope to cross paths with you soon. Thank you.
You bet, guys. Have a great day.
That's Matt Miller, NFL Draft Scout on Twitter, lead NFL Draft Analyst over at ESPN. He knows Ryan Poles. He's advocated for him to get a GM job for over a year now. That all sounds good. I told you, the people that we talked to today are almost assuredly going to give us ringing endorsements. That's kind of how this works. But that idea of that Clyde Edwards-Helaire pick is what he's talking about when they had the 32nd overall pick. He's like, you can quibble with who they took, but the philosophy is we are supporting Pat Mahomes. We saw him get crushed in the Super Bowl last year against Tampa, so we're going out and we're getting Joe Tooney, and we're going to draft Creed Humphrey in the second round, who might a Pro Bowl candidate as a center. We're going to take Trey Smith in the second round or in the sixth round, who's an awesome offensive lineman. They took a swing on Kyle Long. Like, you know, they saw their problem, they addressed it, threw a ton of resources at it. When they had they already had Tyreek Hill, they went and got Mecole Hardman. More speed.
Who? He prefers a little bit more respect.
Sorry.
His name is not, you don't just call him Mecole.
That's Mr. Hardman. He likes Mr.
My bad, Mr. Hardman.
But does he spell it out? M-I-S-T-E-R, I wonder if it's...
Nope, just M-R.
M-R. Okay. But, I mean, some of them have been good, some of them haven't been, but it was like, we'll take a swing on Josh Gordon. We'll take a swing on Byron Pringle. Like we are going to keep throwing speed and assets at supporting the quarterback. So there will be no – if he brings over that philosophy, that means this offseason you are going to see a reworking of the skill positions for Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears.
I have the profile of the offensive coordinator that one of these defensive head coach candidates might go for. I have some specific names of guys that are out there in the NFL who I know you know because you go deep on this stuff. But this is an important thing because if two of the candidates, Matt Eberflus and Dan Quinn, are defensive guys, your first question is going to be, well, what are you doing for Justin Fields? What are you doing on offense? I was talking to a couple people today. As we know, you and I have both been digging around, and I have the profile of what kind of person is going to come in for that offensive coordinator job. I can share that with you with some specific names if you want them to.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's hear that. And by the way, add Jim Caldwell to that mix. Jim Caldwell's 67 years old.
So he's going to need an offensive coordinator, too, of consequence, is what
absolutely.
I'm saying?
Absolutely. Like, yeah. Because if and when he leaves or retires, if it's working, you want there to be continuity of government, right? Like, if Brian Daboll leaves, they're probably going to promote Ken Dorsey as offensive coordinator in Buffalo to keep the terminology and the system the same for him. So while it will be a bigger point of contention for a defensive head coach, like,
right,
offensive philosophy is still paramount. It's the number one thing for any of these coaches. But Caldwell, I would include him in that list because he's 67. But we'll hear from that coming up. Joe Ostrowski, Hub Arkish still to come. Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.